Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Patrick and get a free phone. Go to charitymobile.com.
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
All right, we are back. Thanks again for listening to the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. The number is 888-914-9149. We talked in the first hour, and we'll move on to other topics as well. We're going to get to your phone calls here in just a minute, but we talked a little bit about the ever-increasing number of men who are between the age of 25 and 54 who could be working but aren't. And it's not because they're in jail or they're incapacitated. They're healthy, capable, able-to-work guys who just don't. And the last part of the article, I just wanted to share this with you before we proceed to your phone calls. But it has to do with what are the net effects? What could the net effects be if this continues in concert with what looks like maybe on the horizon, or maybe sooner than that, or closer than that, rather, and that is universal basic income, in which people, let's say in that age bracket, would be paid to not work. I mean, if you could pay your cell phone bill and your rent and your food and all the other necessities of life, and you could make it without having to work, a lot of people are going to say, well, why would I want to work? A very different way of looking at the world. So here's the last bit of the article. The portrait of daily life that emerges from time use surveys for grown men who are more or less entirely disconnected from the world of work is sobering. So far as can be divined statistically, their independence from obligations of the workforce does not translate into any obvious enhancement in their own quality of life or improvement in the well-being of others. To go by the information they themselves report, quite the contrary seems to be true. Though they have nothing but time on their hands, they are not terribly involved in care for their home or for the others in it. They are increasingly disinclined to embark on activities that take them outside the house. The central focus of their waking day is the television or computer screen, to which they commit as much time as many men and women devote to a full-time job. So far as we can tell, the authors of this article say, moreover, screen time is sucking up a still increasing portion of their waking hours. There would seem to be no shortage of alienation or even despair in the daily lives of men entirely free from work in America today. Why then would we not expect a universal basic income, which would surely result in a detachment of more men from paid employment, to result in even more of the same? I'll rephrase that. In other words, if they're already seeing striking numbers in terms of alienation and despair, and those are the only two categories they mention, what about, I don't know, violence? Or, you know, there are other things that they could be considering. So they're saying, if this continues, why shouldn't we expect to see more of the same? I think we probably should. And the last bit is, arguments can be made, of course, that universal basic income would attract a different sort of unworking man from those who predominate the prime age male population today. But the patterns we have presented on the daily routines of existing work-free men should make proponents of the universal basic income think long and hard. Instead of producing new community activists, composers, and philosophers, more paid worklessness in America might only further deplete our nation's social capital at a time when good citizenship is already in painfully short supply. Yes, I agree, and I am concerned. Andrea, in Egg Harbor, New Jersey, what are your thoughts on this issue?
Okay, well, it's a very interesting topic, and I certainly agree that able-bodied men should be working. However, I think in order to look at this fairly, we need to examine other areas of the world that have employed this same strategy as a universal income and see what kind of impact it has had over there. Now, admittedly, I haven't done that to any great extent, so I'm not really able to address it. However, I think it needs to be done. And
my
overall impression is that it has been successful over there. I also want to add.
Can I interrupt? Interrupt, Andrea. Okay, that's an interesting. It's interesting. It's been successful. What is the measure of success? What's the metric by which we measure success over there, in your view?
Well,
in other words, successful in what way?
Well, that's what we need to. I mean, okay, I'm a former newspaper reporter, and I would need to analyze all of these subjects before I could completely address that. All I'm saying is
sure.
It needs further study to see whether or not it has been successful, and in what way. Now, the thing is, I'm retired now, but I'm not making it on my Social Security. I'm disabled, I'm a senior citizen, and I had been working part-time as a virtual administrative assistant before COVID, and I lost my clients due to COVID, and I was able to collect unemployment, and that was a real godsend and a blessing to me. And but I want to point out, however, that
But you're not 25 years old in the prime of life, able-bodied.
Right, exactly. I agree.
So you're
in
a different category. Right.
I agree. However, I did have to pay taxes on that income. So it was not tax-free income. And, it did give me, an opportunity to have. Actually, I prayed, because there were many things that I wanted to do in ministry for the Lord.
Andrea, my point is, and I empathize with you, our social safety net, our contract in terms of what we call a social contract, it's intended to help to take care of people in just the kind of situation that you're describing. And we should have this and more, if you ask me. But your situation is drastically different from the 25, 26-year-old, 30-year-old guy who's just at home doing nothing but playing video games or watching TV or whatever. This is to come back to your question. In what way is that, if let's say universal basic income is rolled out, what could the metric possibly be that we would say it's a success? Let's look at that as an example here. How could that be deemed a success? In what way would that be a success? What would be successful about it?
Like I said before, I would need to see what they are saying, why they feel it is a success, and then I would be able to make an intelligent comment on that. But, not being prepared to discuss this, I couldn't answer that at this point.
Fair enough. I think I can, though, and I do appreciate your phone call, Andrea. I think I can make an intelligent comment on this, and that is that let's consider all the ways in which we could measure success. Production and output? No, because they're not producing or putting out anything. Meaningful engagement in the community? No, because even by their own self-reporting, they're not engaged in the community. They're not helping other people for the most part. They're not working at this local soup kitchen or helping out in some other way. What about their own personal improvement, either through education or travel or life experience or wooing and winning a woman to marry? No. Even just by their own self-reporting. I must admit, I would be hard-pressed to try to find a metric that we could say, just in a general sense, this is a success. Oh, it's so successful that these guys are getting this universal basic income for not doing anything. And look, here's the payoff. In this category, it's successful. I'm coming up blank. I can't imagine. Can you, Cyrus, am I missing something? Or can you think of a metric in which we could say, well, this is successful? Because I can't. What are your thoughts?
I can't. No.
Maybe they're selling more gaming systems, more gaming consoles. So, PlayStation, or who makes that? Sony? Whoever the companies are, Xbox, PlayStation, that might be a successful metric for them. business is up 50% over last year. Maybe that's a successful metric. Mm. James in Chandler, Arizona. Welcome to the program. What are your thoughts on this issue, James?
Yeah, I just wanted to comment. I'm 27 years old, married with four children. So not really, I don't really
God bless you, sir.
My generation.
God bless you.
But I've observed this growing up and kind of, you know, it's astonishing to hear those numbers, actually like a survey that to show the proof. But just growing up in general, I think that some of what this stems from is unfortunately the pressure and kind of high expectations that are put on boys when they're younger to kind of live up to, you know, there's always been comments about like, what our grandparents did and what, you know, the greatest generation sort of group, what they had to go through and how we all have it easy. And we grew up with, you know, got cell phones in middle school or high school. And, you know, we have technology and the internet and all that. And I think there's a fear of like trying and failing, fear of not living up to expectations and then rejection at the end of the day as well, which leads into.
But isn't that just life though, James? Isn't that just life? I mean, every generation has to go through that. Do you think our generation or this generation is any different in that regard?
I think that the sensitivity is different, and I don't know why. But yes, to your point, I 100% agree that every generation has had trials and expectations they've had to live up to, and for the most part, up until now, has succeeded. And for some reason, that's just lacking with people my age or even a little bit older, that they don't want to. You know, you asked, like, if there was the universal income, why would you go work? And I think that's the biggest question for people my age is, like, why? Why would I do that? Why would I want to have a family? Why would I care about, like, good benefits at a good, well-paying job if I don't need to provide for people? Why would I move out of my parents' house if I don't have to? You know, things like that. And there's just not the self-motivation. I think that's lacking as well.
You know, St. Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10, he says, if someone is not willing to work, let him not eat. You know, if you got a slacker in the community and he's just going to loaf around, then he doesn't get to get in the buffet line because he's not contributing. Now, that doesn't apply to everybody because obviously there are some people who can't work. But for the able-bodied person who can work, what's the very first thing? And I know you know this, James. The very first thing God did after he created Adam was he gave him some work. Name all the animals. Right. So he put Adam in charge of a project, and Adam had to perform the work that God had mandated for him. Let me ask you a question, James, because you're successfully married. You have four children. My hat is off to you. You remind me of another fellow I remember, not going through something similar. Would your wife have even taken a second look at you if you had, before you had gotten married and you'd met her and you weren't working and all you were doing was at home playing video games or whatever? Would she have even given you a second thought if you were in that category?
No, I don't believe so.
Yeah. Smart woman. Because how are you going to be a good husband and a good father if go ahead
right.
James.
I think that that's what, you know, I think it's second nature, and that's what we're here for, right? We want to build a family, be a good man, be a good husband and a father. But you know, it goes back to the gentleman earlier who talked about being raised on the farm and the upbringing. That is a huge part of where we are today, and the result of the generation, what it is the upbringing and the, I think, you know, men in general, in between the greatest generation and us, kind of slacked for some, you know, they had a lot of pressure and they didn't want to put that onto their kids. But as a result of it, their children don't hold the same values. So they don't care if a girl is going to think badly about them or not want to go with them, which leads, like you mentioned about the virtual reality. Again, why would I care about a girl or having a family if I can jump on a virtual reality machine and have a girlfriend and a house and a life in this fake world? And, you know, it scares me to think about, like, to see what this survey would show in 20 years from now for the next generation. And, you know, yeah, the statistics on the screen time and everything like that, it's really scary to think about just where we're headed. But I think that as long as we have a society who fosters this, you know, it's okay to not have goals and not to have values and not to hold the same values as your parents did. And if you don't want to work, you shouldn't have to work because, you know, that's your journey sort of thing. We're just going to see it continue to go downhill and no one will be motivated until the universal income is here and everyone realizes that they screwed up and it's too late at that point.
Then you're hooked. Then that you got to have that drug. Well, thank God for young men and young women like you and your wife, James. It's obviously not just a man's job. We're in it together. But I hope and pray that we see ever more young people like you and your wife who are willing to step up and make your way in the world and raise good children and work hard and all the things that we just sort of idealize. But lately, it seems like that's falling by the way. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. Rick in Greenville, South Carolina. Any thoughts on this issue?
Oh, yeah, I've got a lot of thoughts. One is motivation. One is, you know, like the breakdown of the family. When I was a kid, my dad would, you know, he drove this old Valiant car that couldn't start in the morning unless me and my brother got out and pushed it down the road, you know, and we knew he was going to work because yeah, we were going to have a good life because he was going to work. So, I mean, that was...
Would you accept universal basic income if your monthly nut could be taken care of in terms of your bills and you could just stay at home and watch sports or do whatever, you know, mow the lawn, do whatever you wanted to do? Would you live that way if you could?
No way. No, absolutely not.
Why not? And why not?
Well, because
you were quick to say no.
Oh, yes. Yeah, because I know myself. Right now I'm sick at home, which is why I was able to call in. And I'm driving my wife crazy because I can't just lay in bed and be sick. I got to get up and do stuff, you know, and it's just, I've been built this way ever since. Well, I'm retired from the Navy.
So tell me this, just in the interest of time, forgive my interruption. You're an able-bodied guy. You're sick right now, but let's just say when you're healthy again and the government says, check it out, we'll pay you. And I don't know what your monthly is, but let's just say we'll pay you X dollars per month to not work because this is what we're doing now. And you can just be a man of leisure. You said no. I'm just asking again for effect. You wouldn't do that, right? And why not?
No, because I've got dignity. And I think God has placed in our hearts worth and dignity. And work is part of that. You quoted from the Bible earlier. I remember those quotes when I was growing up. If you don't work, you don't eat. Sorry.
Yeah.
You know, I love what I'm doing right now. I'm actually teaching PE at a classical Catholic school in which we've got people moving all over the country to come here to not be on computers, to not be on virtual reality or streaming. We've gone back. We teach Latin here. We want people to go out and work and you know, do landscaping and it's a great school. It's a great.
So the issue, it sounds like, Rick, is, and I agree with you, is that you would not be fulfilled as a man, as a human being, let alone whether you're married or not. But even as a married man, here's what I'm hearing from you. You would not be fulfilled. You wouldn't have a purpose. Your life would be, and I'm putting words in your mouth, but tell me if I'm right. Your life would be wasted if you just had nothing but leisure time and you never actually worked and actually accomplished something. Is that a fair assessment?
That's a fair assessment. I mean, if you look at St. Benedict and you look at St. St. Francis, you know, I mean, he didn't, what happened to him? He just went out and started building a place with rocks. He was perfectly fulfilled.
He was repairing a church. Yeah, in fact, he kept receiving this message from the Lord, Francis, rebuild my church. And he thought that the church in question was a little ramshackle old chapel down in the valley below Assisi. And he thought that was the church until he realized that God was talking about the whole church. Hey, Rick, thank you. Good to talk to you. I'm coming right back with more of the Patrick Madrid Show right after this.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio Line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
Hello. Hello again.
Welcome back to the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Real life solutions you can believe in. Have a question? Give Patrick a call. 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. The Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
This is the Patrick Madrid Show, and your commentary is welcome. My number is 888-914-9149. Wherever you are in the world listening to the program, thank you for listening. Please tell your friends and family about the show. 888-914-9149. I got a message from Patricia, who's listening, and she says, I think a lot of people do not work because the minimum wage is so low, $7.50 an hour, which comes out to $300 a week, where government pay is $600 a week, and she's referring to the ostensible universal basic income. And we actually saw a little sneak peek of that during the COVID years, which may or may not be over, but for the time when the stimulus money was coming out on a regular basis and people getting unemployment, and I'm not against unemployment at all. Patricia says that is $15,600 a year, barely enough to support a stay-at-home teenager. I don't know about that, Patricia. If that stay-at-home teenager is eating at the family table and getting $1,000 a month, you know, clearing $1,000 a month in change, you could pay your cell phone bill on that, especially if mom and dad are housing you and feeding you. Yeah, you can make it on that. But if the government, she says, is offering me $600 a week, that comes out to $31,200, a more livable amount to live on. That's true. It's just basic math. And I could understand why people would say, if they're not terribly motivated to work, if, you know, why wouldn't I take the universal basic income and stay home if I could? But I guess the bigger question that I'm asking all of you is, what do you see this doing to us as individuals and collectively as a society? What does this, what would this mean for our country? What would this mean for, you know, our armed forces, which are already having difficulty filling their quotas because of the service members who are getting out on any given day? You've got to bring new people in, and it's a struggle. COVID has complicated that. But if you go in the military, you've got to get into the best shape of your life. That's going to require work. You're going to have to take orders. You're going to have to do things. There's a lot of drudgery involved. There's a lot of great things involved too. But at the same time, if you're going to go into the military and serve your country, you're going to have to work. And I wonder if maybe this phenomenon of people, especially the men, we talked about an article that kind of looks statistically at this group of men between the age of 25 and 54 who can work. There's nothing wrong with them physically or in any other way. They're not institutionalized. They just don't want to work, and they don't work. And the number exceeds 7 million now. And according to the statistics, the number grows by about 10,000 men per month. Curious to know what you think, Adrian, in Modesto, California. What are your thoughts?
So I think that they take a lot from free thinkers. We don't have a lot of free thinkers anymore. I don't play video games, but I have no judgment towards anybody that likes to play video games. I just think that they're setting themselves up for depression. You know, they're really setting themselves up for depression because, I mean, you know, you play video games, you have to have hobbies. You have to have you have to be active. I just believe that the government does take a lot from our own free thinking on what we dream of doing as we're kids. So I don't think we have a lot of in other words, what defines success to me is your happiness. You know, I'm not going to judge anybody. So if you're happy doing that,
yeah,
I guarantee you that if you're a gamer, you're going to have you're going to be, you know, you're going to feel it. You're not active. You're not doing what life was intended for you to do. Be outside, grab a shovel. I tell people when I grab a shovel, it feels so good to you know, work the dirt. And it's almost like it's in the Bible. So it's almost like you can relate to it. And I think that that if you have not wanting to earn your life or your living playing video games.
Yeah. Are you married? I'm assuming you probably are, Adrian.
I got two kids. I'm separated. I got separated.
Okay. But if you, so as a family man, you were married at one time, you have kids. When you were raising your kids, what effect do you think it would have had on them if you had received universal basic income and you weren't handling a shovel or whatever your occupation was? You were just sitting on the couch playing video games all day while your kids were coming and going from school.
Yeah.
How would that have affected them?
That would affect them dramatically in the lifestyle and their productivity of life. So, in other words, that's my fault. It wouldn't be their fault. But if I'm not teaching my kids how to work and how to earn their bread or their meal, then I lost all of life, of the meaning of life, of how you sit down and break bread with those that you work hard with. So you can't break bread with someone that didn't work hard for their peace.
Unless he's getting universal basic income and the government's paying for that bread. But I hear what you're saying, Adrian. Thank you. Very interesting. Let's go to Tom now in Cross Lake, Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Hi, Tom.
Hi, good morning. Say the conversations strikes really close to home. I've been I've been productive my entire life. I've been wired to work, grew up in a small business in the family and grateful for it, and been working full time since 13-14, and started off as an entrepreneur early in life. And it's interesting because I've got some what they call learning disabilities, right? Dyslexia, OCD.
Okay.
So I couldn't really get through the normal education systems. Grew up small town, faked my way through school. They didn't know I had dyslexia until I tried to go to college. But regardless, I worked, started a small business, started several small businesses. Luckily, I understand physics and math and chemistry, so I'm one of those polymath guys. But the thing that's challenging for us is, I find myself at 52 and not working. And it's not because of my choice. And I say that really cautiously because it sounds terrible. I don't want to be woe is me, and I don't want to feel like, Tobit or Job. But, I slipped into that.
Okay, are you unemployed because you can't find a job, or you can't find the kind of job you want, or what? I'm just curious because unemployment's a very terrible thing for anybody who wants to work. What form does it take for you?
So I'm in a situation where I've been kind of so our system of progressive society has made it difficult for people that fall into my demographic, because we're kind of punished for being who we are and what we are.
But if you wanted to work tomorrow, if you wanted to get hired on tomorrow, are there jobs within your area of interest or capability that you could get? Or is it, I guess I'm wondering, why are you unemployed if you really want to work?
So there's tons of opportunity. In fact, for the technologist that I am, the opportunities are immense. The burden that I've got is I went through a divorce, and I've got I'm in Minnesota, very progressive. No fault actually means your fault. And, I didn't understand how punitive our system is. I'm a trusting person, faithful person. And so, shame on me for not being a very good businessman. I got manipulated a little bit, lost millions of dollars to clients that wouldn't pay me, had to try to sue them. And, as life had, again, not, this is not woe is me, okay? I made my own mistakes. I'm complicit in my failure.
Right. But if you, because I've got a ton of people trying to get on the air right now, Tom. Bottom line, if you walked out the door today and beat the bushes, could you come up with a job that would feed you and your family if you have kids at home still? Could it be done?
The structure that we're under, because I've got money I owe to the IRS, I've got judgments that I owe to an ex-wife, I've got judgments that I owe. So the system is set up such that if you are a high functioning contributor and you get backwards, our progressive system demonizes you to the extent, And, you know, and it sounds really bad, but, you know, I've got judgments. So every dime, every dollar I make, I owe $350.
Yeah, it sounds like a very difficult situation to be in. But I would think, if I had to guess, that working and bringing in some money is better than bringing in no money. Well, you have my empathy, Tom. I hope things turn around for you. Thank you. Let's go to, I hope I'm saying your name correctly. Is it Joanne or Joan in Port St. Lucie, Florida?
Joanne.
Welcome. You're on the air.
Okay. My comment.
Well, you called.
Would be.
Go ahead.
Yeah, my comment is the universal basic income. Listening to the radio station, the comments were made about virtual, you know, whatever this is. And if people got paid and they stay home and they started just doing this virtual stuff. And I had a nephew that was hooked on the gaming and some of the gaming. I had already called in previously to talk about that because he died. He was 27, and that's a long story. I won't even go into it, but come to find out the games were teaching men how to shoot women and kick them, and, you know, that's disgusting to me.
Some of those games are, and I only know this anecdotally because I'm not a gamer, but I'm just trying to think of some, you know, what is it? Grand Theft Auto, I believe.
That's
is
right.
Maybe, is that right? That's one of the games,
yeah,
that involves, like,
and the games
shooting
don't
and knifing.
Okay. Teach you to kick and shoot women, but it's an option. So I'm not saying it's good, but there's no game that's like, all right, we're going to teach all the little boys in the, you know, sitting at home unsupervised how to beat up women. And that's not what the games are about. But
in a way, in a roundabout way, it sounds like they, whether they intend it or not, that's one of the net results, right? Because
you're not wrong.
You can do it in the game.
Yep.
I assume.
Yeah, you're not wrong at all.
Okay. So, Joanne,
is your sense that
the games are part of the problem, or what?
I believe that our physical bodies were meant to not be sedimentary.
Yeah. I agree. I think we're all called to something, or many things, as the case may be. I appreciate the phone call. Thank you. Let's go to Joseph now in Albuquerque. Hi, Joseph.
Hi, Patrick. My comment is, you know, I understand that it's not right not to work. I'm not siding with that. But also, you know, I also hope that through all this, as I pray for each day, the dignity of workers, you know, will be elevated. You know, I think that a lot of businesses and companies, it's all about the money and greed and not paying workers enough to live on. You know, mom and dad have to go to work now. The inflation for housing and cars and everything else since, you know, the 1970s is far exceeded the pay. And I hope that in the end that, you know, they'll pay people better. They'll treat people better, you know, but I realize, you know, you have to go to work, you know, and that's, you have to play the game, you know. It's just unfortunate, you know.
Well, okay,
and I don't
this is
know
an
about,
interesting area because it gets into Catholic teaching on social justice and earning a living wage and such. What would your prescription be to elevate the circumstances of the worker, as you put it? What would be some things you would recommend to be done?
Well, you need to pay them a livable wage for a father to work and the mother to be at home with her children. You know, I think that the amount of greed out there is, you know, take COVID, for example, all these businesses, big businesses like Home Depot's, Walmart's, I don't think they even felt it.
Let me tell you something about Walmart that might, I don't know if it changes your thinking on this, Joseph, but Walmart will provide even part-time employees with a fully paid for college education at four real colleges, not just like, you know, Acme College of whatever. It's a completely paid for college education, including books. So somebody who's working at Walmart can go to college debt free. Now, that is not the only thing that people need, but it's a huge thing. And so I'm pleased to see things like that happening. I mean, I think that ties in with what you're referring to, right? Helping people.
Yeah, just the oppression of people. I mean, you got to spend over $3 a gallon for gas. When I was growing up,
those are market dynamics. I'm talking about the average working man or woman. You mentioned Walmart, and I'm not, I mean, I don't own stock in Walmart. I don't have any feeling one way or the other, but it's, in fairness, there's an example of where they're giving people a hand up because they pay for their college, which is wonderful if you ask me.
That's good. Yeah, that's great. I just think that the pay out there doesn't match what you need to earn a living for a father. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've been in the workforce over 45 years and, you know, you see the way you get treated at times. It's, you know, you're there years, you're giving 100%, but every year they want more and more. It's like, if you're at the maximum, you can't get blood out of a rock anymore, you know, type.
Well, Joseph, I'm sorry that things have been that way for you. I really am. I'm not so sure that that describes most people in the workforce today. I think most people in the workforce, even the more, if we can use the term, lower end jobs, maybe that don't require as much skill or training. It seems like working conditions are so much better now than, you know, in previous generations. So anyway, well, thank you for weighing in on that topic. I appreciate it. We have to take a break, but we're coming back to more of your phone calls. The number is 888-914-9149. And no, we're not blaming gaming systems. We're just wondering, how does that tie in with this bigger picture of people who are not willing to work? And what does that do to them? And what will the effects be eventually on our society? Well worth our time to consider. I'll be right back.
Notre Dame Federal Credit Union is a member of the Catholic Credit Unions of America. You can find more information and your local Catholic Credit Union at relevantradio.com/banking.
Here we go!
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
You're in your glory, Cyrus, aren't you? With all the
I was made for this.
And nothing against games. I'm certainly not saying that. But it does play into the bigger picture of a growing number of men ages 25 to 54 who just don't work. It's not that they can't work. They just don't work. Michelle in Burlington, Wisconsin, welcome to the program. What are your thoughts?
Hello, Patrick. I believe that I've had a very unique view of how this has become reality over the last 25 years. I have owned and managed college rental properties. And if you remember, when most of us were in school years ago, we had small rooms, we lived on ramen noodles, we drank cheap beer, you lived on pennies, we worked in college so that you graduated without any debt. Rarely did I ever hear from a parent, rarely. Today, moms literally call to set up showings for their kids because, God forbid, their kid take the time out to do that. Parents call me to change their kids' light bulbs. Parents call me about the smallest nuances. It used to be that the kids wrote the checks. Literally,
so the college kid can't change a light bulb or doesn't want
Correct.
To, I guess.
Correct. Yep. Right. No, they call their parents.
How many college kids does it take to change a light bulb? Sounds like a joke.
It's a sad joke. And again, they used to live on pennies. Today, to see Grey Goose bottles of vodka in college apartments is not unique. And it's when you're talking about, you know, universal income, I think many parents have already created universal income for their kids.
I think you're right.
When when I'm showing college apartments, it is not uncommon to have three or four boys playing video games in front of large TVs, and the girls will sit behind them and just watch. Hmm. Years ago, they'd be outside playing football, and the girls would watch or they'd participate, right? But today, it's the world is just we are enabling very, very bad behavior. Parents are accepting this kind of behavior, and in fact, they're encouraging it. And when you watch this happen over the last few decades, it's just sad, and I don't actually know how we can change that.
You know, I started college in 1978, so that's when I first hit, you know, higher learning. And right. Here's my theory, Michelle. I don't know how old you are, but so I started college in 1978. Of course, there was no internet. There was nothing digital. There were none of the things that we take for granted today existed then. And that's just how it was, you know, whatever. But I'll bet you that if these things had existed then, most of us would have been on them. Most of us would have been parked in front of the gaming system. Most of us would have done exactly what young people today are doing. It's just the only difference is those devices and those pastimes just didn't exist. What do you think?
It's not just the games. I don't mind the games. It's the fact that they do not take care of themselves. They have their parents taking care of everything for them. And they do nothing but the games. They don't work. I have students who are behind on their rent. Literally, one kid couldn't pay his rent, told me to call his dad because his father was supposed to be taking care of it for him. His dad was unemployed. I said, well, have your son get a job. He said, oh, no, my son is too busy to get a job.
Oh, my. Well, you did touch on something, Michelle, that I would like to extend. Thank you for your phone call. I appreciate it. And that is, I've preached this for a long time, and that is, parents, I really sincerely believe you're not doing your children any favors if when they get into, you know, you have to figure out where to draw the line. My line was 16 years old. That was my line. So when my kids were growing up and they said, hey, Dad, I want to get my driver's license, you know, at 15, my learner's permit. Okay, great. No problem. You can get it. And you have to go to driving school and that'll be $250 and you have to pay for it. Well, I don't have a job. Well, you're going to have to get a job. And we'll drive you back and forth to your job until you earn enough money to get your driving school paid for. And then when you get your license, after you've done all that, then you can drive, but you're going to have to pay for your own insurance. You could be on the family plan until you're 18, and we would let the kids be on our plan until they were 18. At 18 years of age, I'm telling you, they spun off on their own. That was a requirement. So not only were they no longer on the family plan, but they had to spin off and get their own separate car insurance that they had to pay for. And their portion of our driver's insurance or automobile insurance, rather, in the time between 16 and 18, whatever that amount was that I had to pay for, they had to pay for it. So they had to reimburse Nancy and me for that amount. And when they got to be 18, as I say, they spun off. And the whole point of this was, if you want it, you have to work for it. And you're not going to get it handed to you. So, no, we never, ever paid for their cell phone bills. We certainly didn't pay credit card bills. Please, never. Absolutely under no circumstances. And it wasn't that we were trying to be harsh or difficult or any of those things. But we recognized, and I do believe in retrospect, I was vindicated in this, but we recognize that if we did that for them, it was bad for them. It would make life worse for them or more difficult for them, because the sooner a young person learns how to make his way in the world and work hard and earn money to be able to get the things that you want, those lessons, when they're learned early, they'll carry you a long way. And just for what it's worth, one of my now adult sons, I mean, all my kids are adults, but you know, he's an adult, established, married, children of his own. And he probably among most all of my sons was the one that I used to butt heads with the most when he was a teenager. And I mean, he outgrew it and we have a wonderful relationship. But a couple of years ago, maybe you heard me say this before, Cyrus, but the son, he took me aside. He said, "Hey, Dad, I just want to thank you because in those days when I was 16, 17, 18 years old and you made me pay for all that stuff because you wouldn't do it for me. And all my friends, their parents were paying that for them, and I didn't know why you wouldn't pay it for me." And he said it really used to bother me, but he says, as I look back on it now, I really want to thank you, Dad, because if you hadn't done that, I may never have really learned to become self-sufficient. And I look back and I trace it to the fact that you and Mom didn't coddle me or any of the others. And that made me feel really good, quite honestly, because, you know, payoff.
That is a win.
That's a win.
Yeah, that's a win. I'm raising my kids. Like, parenting's really hard. I'm not good at it, and it's constantly a struggle. But I'm not worried about being a friend to them right now. Right now, I'm dad. But hopefully, when they're 25, or when they're adults, that's when we can have that friend relationship. But right now, I'm dad, and sometimes dad is mean.
I think you are a good dad, and everything I know about you and your family tells me you are a good dad. You're a great dad as far as I can see, Cyrus, but you're right. So how can I put it? I think that many parents today, and I don't know what many is that a percentage? I don't know. This is purely anecdotal, but my impression is that there are many parents who feel that if they're not paying for their teenage or even college age kids' cell phone bill and car insurance and maybe credit cards for that matter, that they're somehow failing their children. My advice is you're failing them by doing that, by paying all of these things that they rightfully should be in a position to pay for if they're working. That is going to fail them more in the long run, by far, if you ask me, versus instilling in them, you know, you need to get out there and hustle. You're going to have to work. And it's not because I don't want to share the good things in life that Mom and I have now. I mean, it's not that we're stingy. It's not that we don't love you. It's not that we don't want you to be happy. But if you look far enough down the road, by coddling and catering to this, you're going to be less happy when the time comes. You're going to be less prepared to be an industrious father or wife, husband or wife, rather, father or mother. Those lessons learned early, I do believe, will carry them a long way.
This could be a bad metaphor, but like a baby,
like my football metaphor this morning earlier.
A baby bird, you know, it struggles to get out of the egg, right? And so if we go over there and we're like, oh, I got to help this baby bird break out of its egg because it's having a hard time, you're actually killing the bird, because the bird needs to struggle. It needs to break out of the egg on its own. That's how it's building its strength. And it doesn't break out until it's ready. And so by coddling our children, we're breaking the egg for them. We're making it too easy.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, I didn't say it was good.
So when your kids start complaining that you won't pay for their cell phone bill or their car insurance, they're going to say, "Dad, you've been listening to Patrick Madrid too much."
Yeah, they say that already. You know what? I'm actually really proud. I'm proud of my son. He wanted a computer, and so he was 14 at the time, and he went and got himself I wouldn't pay for it. It was a $1,000 thing, and he's like, "All right, well, can I work?" I'm like, "Of course you can." And so we've been driving him back and forth to work for the last year, and he saved up money, and he bought himself exactly what he wanted to buy. And he had to work for it, and it was tough, and it was frustrating, and it wasn't easy for me to always be driving him back and forth either, but I knew it was the right thing for him to, if he wanted something so bad that was expensive.
Good point.
Earn yourself.
Yeah, and he now values it, whereas if you had just given it to him, that's so there's true. No value.
Yep.
Yeah. Hey, thank you, Cyrus. Dominic in Chicago. Welcome.
Hi, Patrick. Thanks for having me. So, you know, regarding, you know, this the topic at hand, right, the whole workforce issue, and I mean, it sounds like we've primarily been talking about young men, right? So in my mind, what we have here is a multifaceted issue, but on the macro level, I mean, there are kind of two things that really stand out.
You know, on one hand, you know, we kind of look at the modern world as a whole, where we've progressed towards, well, if you want to call it a progression, but we're now in like this high tech world, right? Mm-hmm. Which, in from my purview, is not fulfilling the nature of mankind, right? I believe that mm-hmm. mankind as a whole feels really comfortable or fulfilled by the world that we live in, right? Now this takes us a little bit further to young men, right? So young men
are about 40 seconds.
Young men aren't being presented with the good fight, right? And if they're not presented with the good fight, they're either going to find no fight at all or they're going to find the bad fight, right? And the no fight at all is kind of the video game. You know, I can't have a great adventure, a great struggle, you know, in this modern world that we're in. It's kind of what we've told our young men. So I'm just going to find it in a video game.
So to kind of settle for something that's easy as opposed to striving for something that's involving sacrifice, would that be a fair way to put it?
I think it's a little more complex than that, right? I think it's quite a bit more complex than that.
That's a good point. I do agree with you. Thank you, Dominic. I'll be right back.